We're talking to Robert Jenkins, a friend of ours, an attorney at law who has had a lot of experience when it comes to the federal government and the federal prison system, and we welcome you in. Robert, good morning.
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm well, sir. And you?
I'm doing good.
So Mitch McConnell announces that they are going to bring, I guess, before the holiday, before the recess, the criminal justice reform bill, and they got a couple of Republicans that are, I don't know if you say grandstanding on this or not, saying that it's going to endanger people. But then you got a coalition of people like Rand Paul and Lindsey Graham and the president and some Democrats as well who say, you know what, it's time that this be done. In terms of, I guess, generally speaking, Robert, what works in the criminal justice system, the federal criminal justice system, and what doesn't?
Well, what really works is a detention hearing where when an individual is arrested, they have a detention hearing within 72 hours where the government puts on their presentation and the defense attorney about whether this individual should be released on bond. And in most cases, they look at that history, the fact that they failed to return to court, their outstanding arrest record, and they may be detained. And that works much more than it does in the state courts. And I think that's the way to do that. So that's one good thing about the feds is that they have a detention hearing, and there's no issue about whether this person should get a bond or whether this person's bond is too high. Are we putting too many people in jail? So that works.
What doesn't work?
What doesn't work is the mandatory sentencing. You know, you have some cases or some charges have mandatory minimums, and I think that it should go to the judge to determine what the sentence on those cases are. So what's happening is that this reform is going to at least give the judges the power that they used to have in terms of looking at each individual case individually.
Just to be clear, this is strictly about federal court and federal prisons, right? This has not got nothing to do with states. Okay, just somebody texted that in. So let's talk about rehabilitation, home confinement, et cetera, because the president said that this would save money, and I guess that is a considerable or at least a consideration when it comes to this?
Well, it's a consideration, but in reality, especially with those who have committed a series of violent crimes, home confinement never works.
Mm-hmm. So this would primarily be for lower-level offenders, people that have not engaged in violent crimes, and if that's the case, then really it's a lot cheaper to let them spend their time at home?
Exactly. Individuals that may have got involved with low-level drug activity or white-collar crimes or some type of theft or embezzlement, where they're basically not a threat to society, and that would save money on incarceration.
So is this softer on criminals, or does this make good sense for society, good sense monetarily, fiscally, both, neither one or the other?
Well, it's good sense for society because what individuals don't understand that home incarceration is home incarceration, and it's tough, which means that you can't leave, you can't go out, you can't do anything without permission of the probation officer. And the fact of the matter is it saves a lot of money within the criminal justice system.
Anything you want to add, sir, before we let you go?
No, nothing but what we talked about earlier about the detention hearings in federal court work so much better than we do in state court.
Thank you. I appreciate your time, Robert. I hope you have
Thank
a
you.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, everything else. Robert Jenkins, our friend, attorney at law. So we're going to open the phone lines. We come back. A couple of things going on. First of all, on a lighter note, there is our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll, which is asking you, do you worry about gaining weight over the holidays? We'll talk to a doctor next hour about some of the ways to avoid doing it and some of the tips that people give you, but I can see it both ways. I can see where you don't want to put on pounds, and the worst thing in the world is to start January 1st saying, by God, that's it. I'm going to start exercising, and then you got that big belly hanging over your belt line, and it's hard to bend over, and it's the beginning of the year, and the holidays are over, and that lasts for what? About a week? So maybe the weight you put on doesn't come off. And that's what they're saying in this study, that people overeat during the holidays and they put on 1 to 2 pounds that doesn't come off. And if you add that up over time, it tends to mount up. So our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll, do you worry about gaining weight over the holidays? 53% are saying no, 47% are saying yes. And the other side of that is that in terms of, you know, man, that good food's here right now, and I'm not going to have Oyster dressing and fruitcake, if you like it, or all these goodies after the holidays are over, so I'm going to enjoy it now. Although here, you know, it's tough because you're going to king cake season right after the holidays, and before you know it, it's Easter candy that's out, Valentine candy, all that stuff. 260-1870, I'd like to hear from you. And in terms of the spectacle, whatever you want to call it, that happened from the White House yesterday, do you think it was good for anybody, bad for anybody, good for both, or bad for both? We played some of the audio earlier, and somebody texted this in from the 985 area code that's kind of interesting. Tommy, that Pelosi-Trump tit-for-tat is a cathartic insight into that which makes combative souls wretchedly foolish. Let the games continue. The Coliseum visitors clamor for more. I think one question I have is how much of that was playing to the cameras and how much of that is really goes on, how much of that is accurate in terms of a representation of what really goes on when you get the Speaker of the House, when you get the minority leader, and you get the president together to negotiate something.